Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, what's going on? This is Thomas Nicholas. Welcome to the Mehmet Total Groove with your host, Tombstone, Josh.
These are my favorite episodes because it is me talking to a fellow drummer. And joining me on the show is Mr. Joseph, drummer of the band Cult of She. He's a badass drummer. He's going to talk all things music with us, man. But first things first, how you doing, my friend?
I am great. I have had a few beers, so I'm feeling good. How are you?
Hey, where are you joining me from? Where are you at?
So we're in probably the most familiar area, very close by. People would recognize it's Asbury Park. Everyone always recognizes, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, those guys. So we're right there. We're a town next to them called Bradley Beach. I'm right there.
Cool, man. How's the weather treating you up there? Because it's fucking hot down here.
It's hot. And we're seeing some of that Canadian wildfire smoke still. So it's getting hotter. But it's okay. I have a cigar once in a while, so it's no big deal to me. You know?
Right on, man. Well, I'm glad you're doing well over there. I'm glad you're joining me on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you
guys on Twitter. And I was like, man, let's have you guys on the show because you guys are badass. And we're gonna talk about the band first. The band's called Cult of She. Where does this name come from?
So our band's been together about 13 years.
Wow.
Right. The band began life as an excuse for me to talk to my now wife. That's literally how it put together, so I could stick with her. She's the same. So we began life as a roulette, right? And because we didn't know how long we'd be doing this or whatever. So turns out roulette's a terrible name because it's super common, and whenever you search it, what do you get? You get casinos, you get online games. So right. I was thinking about rebranding for a while. When the world shut down over COVID, you know, when that happened, we were all together in the backyard, and I just kind of brought up, was like, hey guys, you know, we've kind of found our sound. We kind of have a direction, you know, what do you think about this name change? And the name actually came from a song of a band I love, and I think more people need to know about. They're called He Is Legend. They're from North Carolina. They're amazing.
Dude, they're going to be here this weekend, man. I'm so pumped.
Okay. So sorry to cut you off. I love them. They have one of my favorite songs by them is called Cult of She.
Yeah.
So we made it a little unique with the two T's, but that's where we derived the name. We have a female singer. We're really into like the kind of cultish stuff, the paranormal. So
right on.
It felt like a good fit. So that's where it came along.
That's cool, man. I love that, dude. I love that you're a He's Legend fan. I can't argue with you enough about they need to be more recognized.
Oh my
they're
God. That
so
recent
damn good
album,
and they're underappreciated.
Endless Hallway was amazing. I discovered them by accident years ago. You remember LimeWire?
Yeah.
I downloaded the song. I remember the song, Eating a Book. I downloaded it off LimeWire by accident. Mm-hmm. And everyone, I looked for everything for them since then. I've consumed everything they've put out. I love them.
Yes, they're phenomenal, man. Great band. Great way to kick off. Man, I mean, you and I are going to be best friends. I could tell already, dude.
Already are. We're already there.
You kind of segued it a little bit, talking about your sound. For people not familiar with you guys yet, how would you describe that sound?
So our sound originally, if you listen to our music back in the day, we've had a couple EPs out under Roulette, which was, one was called Brain Dead, one was called Fire, and you could see an evolution there. But it was prominently, I'd say, like from what audience have told us, like it's a lot of punk with like hardcore is the thing we'd always get, right? But it's definitely evolved where we've played with elements of, and I know some people will probably jump down my throat when I say these things. Of like prog and even a little bit of black metal elements, but we still maintain that like kind of simplistic form of play because we're really into rhythm. Like we love as a group, like our singer loves like My Chemical Romance, and then the guitarist and myself really love bands like Periphery, and like I said, He Is Legend. So we try to mix the fun wordplay with the rhythm and like have that match up and with the just right. Stuff you can really bang your head to, but it has a essence, you know, to it in the words as well. It has something that carries its own weight along with the music and the lyrical content.
Okay, cool, man. I love that. I dig that, and it's awesome. Yeah, I loved it. When if like I always say this, I feel like I'm a broken record sometimes on this show, but when a band has diversity, That's what I love, man. So if you can pull different elements from different places, I appreciate that, man.
That's what you need. You got to appreciate, you got to listen to a little bit of everything. And like, we've had songs that start out a little bit country, you know, and then they get punk, and it's what you got to kind of pull from everywhere.
Gotcha, man. Gotcha.
Hey, metal's just jazz at the end of the day.
That's cool, man. So towards the end of the show, I'm going to be playing the song 925 you guys. Tell me a little bit about that song, or maybe we can dive into it later. But the sound the band has now, is there like, what's in the near future for you guys?
So near future, I'll tell you. So again, when the world shut down, we just kind of got to writing. And we said, you know, the way the music industry is going, the album thing really isn't a good idea anymore. You kind of blow your load, right? And you put out an album with 10 songs or so. We've been really focusing on singles and trying to tune and perfect them with the, in tandem with our management team at the Inner Light Agency. We've been working with them closely, trying to get a good sound. So we've been really focusing on singles. Cool. And right now we're working on a music video for a song we got coming up that we're super proud of, which I can't wait to put it out there because I think it's a keystone song for us. You know, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like a foundational song. It's called Sum of One. We're going to have another one probably come out before that called Life on Hard Mode, which we're all, most of us are big gamers. It's kind of a fun play on words with that.
Yeah.
Yes, I know, Jess. and one other we got in the books right now. But we're trying to do a music video with our friends over at 10 Pearl in Long Branch. We got some stuff on the horizon that we're just kind of cooking up right now to, you know, put the finishing touches on.
That's great, man. That's cool. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to hear it. So one more thing about the band, then we'll get into the meat and potatoes of the show, which is the drums. I'm excited for. How's the metal scene up there in Asbury?
Asbury Park. So again, I'll probably get shit for this. Asbury Park has been a town that's gone through highs and lows. And the one thing that's always held true to Asbury Park is that music keeps it alive.
Nice.
Now, Asbury Park as a whole does not tend to support metal so well. They do a lot of punk. There's a lot of great punk bands here. There's a lot of great like indie alternative bands here, a lot of great acoustic acts. But the one thing they've never done is really support the metal scene. So I can't say that for us it's the greatest place, but I do appreciate the folks around us, all the talent that's around us, because they inspire us as well.
That's awesome, man. So we got to get you guys down south. Spread that word. Spread that cult down
please
here, man.
Do.
Metal scene down here is awesome, dude. So if we can get you guys down here, play. That's I accidentally found He Is Legend as well, because they came down to play with I don't know if you heard of or know of Bludgeon, but they were playing with Bludgeon. Because I'm in South Carolina, so it was right down the street for them, and they blew Bludgeon out of the water, which I love Bludgeon, but He Is Legend is just on a whole nother level, man.
Well, that's another band I got to check out then. So Bludgeoned or Bludgeon? Just Bludgeon.
Bludgeon. Bludgeon.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check them out too, yeah.
All right, man. So my friend here is a fellow drummer. Yes. So first thing I got to ask is, where did your musical journey begin? Was that your first instrument?
Ooh. Yes, it was. I started very late in life with drums. My dad did play drums. My mom was not a fan, religious reasons, whole thing. But I always asked my dad about them growing up. My cousin Paul Riccio, he's been playing drums for like 40 years. He's phenomenal. He's always been an inspiration to me. My dad, when he told me, he did. But I started playing drums only at 16. I'm 33 now.
Okay.
I'm self-taught. I never took a lesson.
I
listened and played along. I dug up my dad's old 1976 Ludwigs,
beautiful.
Cleaned them up, put heads on them, and just, he bought me a Zildjian ZBT kit, cymbal kit, and I just kind of started hammering away and figuring it out.
Right.
And, trying to get better and better. And I'm a little bit of a slow learner. Like, only the past couple of years, I've been getting pretty good at double bass and whatnot. I'm trying to incorporate that more.
Yeah,
but that, my journey began late, but like, I feel, I'm always like, oh, you know, if I started earlier, I'd be so much better. But I've had so many good opportunities, and the people I've played with, and I've gotten to tour with and stuff, where it's like, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I try to realize that. So
yeah, you played to what the song asks, man. That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So was there anybody maybe besides some of your family that molded your playing? Like, maybe did you see somebody like, oh shit, that's what I want to do? Or
There are two records I I know shaped my interest right off bat. So my dad, I guess, is a huge figure in my life. He had Blink-182's Enema of the State. He's a music guy. Loves the Beatles, AC/DC, the Police, you know, all this guy.
Yeah.
And he had Blink-182's Enema of the State. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm not really into this. You want to, like, you know, you want it? So I was like, sure. So I started listening to that. And I was like, whoa, like, what is, you know, what is this? This is fun. Like, the lyrics are clever. The drumming is amazing, you know.
Yeah.
So, like most kids, you know, I got into Travis Barker. And then he had the Police's Zagata Mandata too. And Stuart Copeland was like,
masterpiece.
Like, whoa. You know, and so those two, I would say, really started me off on my journey.
Right on.
And then there was a point where I can remember the first CD, I actually was talking about this the other night. The first thing I ever like bought by myself was for like the heavier stuff was, I think, was Limp Bizkit's $3 Bill, y'all.
Nice. Okay.
I on clearance at some store, like random, yeah. And I was like, whoa, this is cool too. So I started like kind of getting into the heavier stuff there and kind of figuring that out. But that was maybe see those, you know, those were kind of a weird culmination of where I began, you know, of music.
So what, you would cherry pick songs and learn to those, or did you just use that as a way to branch your own style of drumming?
That's a great question. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say I started with those. Definitely, even when, you know, it was just kind of tapping along, and
yeah.
And I got, you know, I got an iPod and I started to put stuff on there, like, you know, All That Remains, you know, that was like the, you know, the heavy metal Lamb of God. And then, you know, I'd have things on there like a Switchfoot and then Senses Fail and Bayside. And then, and the were like, it kind of, I love the pop punk stuff. You know, I definitely went through like the emo phase stuff, but then it was funny as I started playing, I was like, okay, this is kind of bullshit. Let me get more into the metal. It's like, this is a little more cool. So I really started to get into the heavier things, especially like when I discovered Lamb of God. That was a game changer, you know, for me. I was like, wow, this is cool. Randy Blythe and
yes, next chapter stuff there. Stuart Copeland is a masterpiece of the drums. Whenever you get to the Lamb of God things and during that chapter right, like, there. Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's cool. So so let's talk about whenever you're coming up with your drum parts for with the band that you're with now, is that something that comes first, or do they lay down, you know, riffs, or does lyrics come first? How does that work for you guys?
That is a great question. So weirdly enough, if you've played with somebody long enough, you kind of know how each other think.
Yeah.
And there have literally been times where I write a lot of the lyrics and stuff too, and my wife kind of filters them out and, you know, makes them better, and we go back. So like, speaking to that, is we'll have ideas without even talking to each other, and we'll show up at practice and my guitarist Mike will be like, oh yeah, you know, I have this riff, and I'm like, I had a drum piece that would go perfect, that, you know, or I'll tap out a rhythm, and I can't speak music, I can't say, oh, play in D or whatever. I don't know how. I kind of do my caveman thing. I'm like, where it's like, you know, I kind of do like, and then there's a pause, you know. But there have been times where we've written a song like 925, actually. You said 925, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands is Queens of the Stone Age. And I feel like that song has a very riffy, just like hammer on the riff kind of feel like they do. So I was like, hey, I want to do something kind of in this vein. I have this idea. And he was like, oh yeah, totally. And he just started like hammering on the riff. And it's just this synchronicity of ideas that comes together. So it can go one way or the other with us, cool. Really. No one person is ever like, oh yeah, it's this and this is the only way. We're always kind of feeding off of each other, which I think has kept it so alive over all these years. You know?
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, that makes each it other. Fluid.
Yeah.
That's cool. So so whenever you're let's just say, do you have a pre-show ritual?
Me? Oh, I definitely do. And it was something I discovered. The last tour, it was kind of late. It was like the last tour I did. I was on the road for 2 months. It wasn't with my band. I got hired by somebody else, and I got to travel around. But it was a bigger show than I was used to playing. Like, we were playing Gas Monkey Garage, we were playing, you know, Hard Rock in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas was the first show.
Wow.
So I'm like trying to wrap my brain around the bigger venues and the amount of people and things that are there. So something I started doing was, like, other than my warm-ups, is I started walking around the perimeter of the room.
Okay.
So I'd sit up on the stage and I'd kind of pan. And I'd be like, okay, this is what the room looks like. And I'd envision it full of people. And then I'd go to each corner of the room and I'd be like, okay, this is what it's like full of people. And I just would kind of make that space make sense in my brain so it wouldn't make me nervous. And it would just calm me.
Wow. I like that. More
of
the time,
just kind of like owning the space of the room without, yeah. there's no hidden areas. I know what this looks like.
That's cool.
So I know it's kind of weird, but like I actually talked about that on my YouTube channel, that just people who might have stage fright, I felt like that really helped me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing now, is I like to own the space of the room before I get up on stage.
Wow, man. Like, killer, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow, that's a good story, dude. I like that. That's cool, man. That makes me, I have a random section of questions that makes me want to ask you another one that I didn't have planned. So thank you for that, sir. Before we move on to that, though, why don't you take me on a tour of around your current kit? Tell me what you're playing right now.
Oh, man, I'd love to. Okay, so I've been playing, it's a Mapex Mydenity kit. They don't make it anymore. For the, how long have I been playing that? 4 or 5 years? And thank you, Mapex. They featured me on their page once because I was talking about the wear and tear on it, how long I've been playing it, and it held up really well.
Cool, man.
But damn, I know I'm forgetting some of the sizes depth wise, but I have a 22. I have a 22 diameter kick.
Single kick, or do you go double?
So it's a single kick, but I have double pedals.
Double
pedals.
Okay, gotcha.
I've had these Pearl Demon drives, the direct drives that I've been using for years.
Yes.
They're awesome. They held up. They have never slowed down. They are wonderful pedals. The 22 inch kick, which has plenty of punch, it's loud. And these are all maple. These are all maple shells. I want to try birch, but I feel like, I don't know, I get stuck with maple. So I got the 22. I think it's 22 by 18. I got a 12 inch tom. I have a 14 inch floor, and I have a 16 inch floor.
Sweet.
And sometimes I'll put one on each side. And my cymbals, I'm lucky enough, or fortunate enough, that TRX early on in my career thought it was cool enough to give me to let me be an endorser of theirs. So I really thank you, TRX Cymbals, for that. So I have they custom made me these 15 inch dark hi-hats. I love 15 inch hi-hats because we play loud music and it cuts through.
Yeah.
If you're playing loud, like low tune music, let me tell you guys, anyone watching this, 15 inch hi-hats for live music, amazing.
Okay.
So they custom made me these vented, they have a vented bottom, solid top hi-hats. I have a 18 inch bright crash over that. I have a 16 inch dark crash. I have a 22 inch crash ride that's a mix of medium and bright. And then I have a stack, which is a 16 inch lightning crash, and upside down is a 18 inch dark china. So it gives a lot of nice differentiation of light and dark, depending on where I'm using it. And I'm playing with Scorpion percussion sticks, which they gave me my own signature stick too, which I was super excited about. They're like impossible to break. I love those things.
Right.
So yeah, I've been very fortunate, but I love that kit, man. I really do. It's a solid kit. It's loud. It just cuts through everything.
That's good, man. You a heavy hitter?
You know, I don't think so. I don't like break cymbals. I don't break sticks. I have like a noodly arm thing going on. I wouldn't say I'm heavy. Like I watched Matt Halpern play a lot, you know, the drummer of Periphery, and I watch how he play, and like, yeah, he seems like he's hitting hard, but he using the, you know, like the glancing technique, like you're supposed to
say
do,
like brushing, like paint brushing, because that's what I'll do sometimes. Yeah.
So to preserve, because I'm not a millionaire, I can't break cymbals all the time, you know. Yeah. I try to use a lot of his technique, and it might look like I'm hitting hard, but I'm not. I'm kind of pulling my punches in that respect.
Gotcha.
The only thing I hit hard is the snare.
Yeah.
That has to come out all the time, you know.
Right on, man. So yeah, that's fun. Would you happen to have a top 5 drummers list that you could throw at me?
I think I do, because it's been pretty consistent. It changes, positioning changes in no particular order. But Mario Duplantier of Gojira,
wow,
is it. Dude, the first time I saw Gojira by accident. I went to go see Devin Townsend. They were playing. We're like, yeah, we'll stick around. It was the closest thing I've had to a religious experience ever. I tell everyone this. I was like,
damn.
So I've seen them like 3 times since then. So Mario Duplantier, Matt Halpern, definitely a periphery. Love his style, his use of just his rhythm. It's made me change the way I think about drumming. Just because he's one of the guys that got me started, and he's got amazing chops. It might be cliche, but I love Travis Barker.
I do too, man.
I think he's he's something else, you know,
yeah,
with the way he approaches drumming. And he makes pop punk interesting, which is kind of hard to do, you know,
very cookie cutter, but I think it was Drumeo, but they did like, what is his favorite, Rudiments? Mm-hmm. And he can pop them things out. Like he's just chilling.
Yeah.
He's sitting there going fast as hell. He's just chilling. So yeah, he's a remarkable drummer.
And he uses grooves and stuff that like, I'm like, I would have never thought of that. That's incredible. Stuart Copeland, who I mentioned before. And the last one, you know, I got, he's actually a friend of mine, and it might be cheesy, but I really enjoyed his band. Unfortunately, not a band anymore. I don't know if you ever heard Tooth Grinder.
Maybe.
They put out 4 or 5, they toured with Periphery and Trivium, Bullet for My Valentine, Meshuggah, like,
oh, okay,
they were doing really well for a while. His name's Wills Weller, and I really like, I knew the guy, saw them come from, you know, here to here. And like, I love watching him play. He was a direct inspiration for me, someone in my hometown. And I gotta say, he inspired me. Like he did. So I like his style.
I like that, dude. That's cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Look him up. Wills Weller.
Okay. I'll do that. Maybe I'll reach out. Maybe he'll come on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great list, dude. So, if you're ready, I got a couple random ones I'm gonna throw at you. I feel like maybe I know what you're going to answer with the first one, but I got to ask it anyway, because it kicks off the list. What's the best band you've ever seen live?
I kind of answered that. I would have to say, well, I did say Gojira, right? That was that thing that was like, I can't even explain. It was like, what the hell? Like, what is this? But let's take them out of the picture. I'm not even going to say from a technical perspective. One of the most moving shows and best shows I ever saw was Shinedown here at the Stone Pony. It was right. It was after Hurricane Sandy, which was a big deal for us. And they put on this phenomenal, just moving, beautiful show. And their performance was so heartfelt and wonderful. And I really enjoyed that show.
Cool, man.
And that was a great live performance.
Hey, that's a good answer. I got no problems with that, man. They're an awesome band. All right. If you could tour with any band, who would you pick? It could be a current band, a band that's been gone for a long time now.
I would love to tour with Trivium. I love Trivium. Actually, over COVID, I feel so bad for not mentioning them. I took some lessons with Alex Bent over Zoom of Trivium. He's their drummer the past few albums.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. I love Matt Heafy, Paolo, all those guys. I would love, that would be option one. I would love to tour Trivium if I could.
Okay, cool, man. Perfect. Sometimes we talk movies on the show. Do you have a go-to movie based around music, fictional band, real band, biography? What you going for?
Oh, man. A movie based around music. One movie, again, it might be a little cheesy, but because it is, I'm not into musicals or anything like that per se. I really did, though, enjoy Across the Universe, that kind of like Beatles movie. That was really cool, and I loved it. But if it was if I can go show based around music, I really liked the Vinyl, which I unfortunately only had one season.
Yeah.
And I got to be in that. I got to be in the first episode. And Will's got to be in the third episode, I think.
Oh, wow,
that was a really cool show. I'm a big Scorsese fan, so he directed the first couple episodes.
Wow, man. Nice. Cool. I like that. It's got like a sentimental value to you, man. That's cool, dude.
Yeah. It was awesome. It's all about music.
Yeah. In that same vein, then, in your downtime, what you streaming? What you watching? Are you a reader? Are you a streamer? What's your go-to show or thing to do?
Sure. So I do. I don't read enough. Like, I'm very picky with my books. I do like to read, but I like to read like real stuff. Like, I'm really lately, I've been really into like psychedelics. Like, I've been reading the Psychedelic Handbook by Dr. Robert Kraftman. I've been reading actually a book I can pull. Like, I have one of Tom DeLonge's books here. It's, you know, I love weird stuff, but like, you know, stuff that's true, or like, I've read all these, Beyond the Occult, you know, things cool. like that. But I am more so a visual person. I'm a visual learner. I'm more visual. I love movies. But lately I've been streaming. Like, I'm finishing up the last season of Barry. I don't know if you've seen Barry.
Oh, man, what's his name?
Bill Hader.
Yes, I love him anyway. So I keep meaning to start that, but then I just started From. So I'm on that right now.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, Barry's really great. I really love, you know, like House of the Dragon. Ironically, these are all HBO shows. It's not like I just watch HBO. Me and my wife watch every night. No joke. We put on Bob's Burgers and like fall asleep. I love anime and stuff. So, yeah, I dabble into anything, but I love character pieces, you know, stuff that's very character driven.
That's nice, man. Cool. I like that. Hey, so I got a couple more. I have to ask you this one just because I see that you have a big brain and I enjoy your knowledge that you're throwing at me.
This first is actually, person that's ever said that to me.
So this actually comes to me. It's from an episode of New Girl, if you're familiar with that show.
That's Zooey Deschanel.
Yes.
Yeah, my brother-in-law always tells me I should watch that. Yeah, I guess I got it.
It's a trip of a show, man, especially the first couple seasons. But in one episode, a character named Nick, a drunk guy, wanders into the bar. He said he's Nick from the future. Okay, so my question to you, would you notice if your future self walked into the room, and would you want to talk to them, or would you just stand back and watch what's happening?
That's a freaking great question. I don't know. I feel like my future self would be like, that guy's a waste of time. Man, this is weird because it could sound so egotistical. Like, yeah, of course I'd talk to me. But no, I guess knowing myself now, I'm somebody that tries to learn. Maybe I don't do it well, but I do try to learn. So if I met my future self, depending how far out, I would hope that they would come back with something valuable and be like, hey, you're fucking up here. You know, this is where I change course. So yeah, I would hear this sketchy person out that claims to be me from the future.
Right on, man. Cool. That's a good answer. All right. So last one I have for you before we wrap this bad boy up. So where you're from, I need to know about the food there, man. What's some go-to good thing to eat up there, dude?
My guy. Let me tell you, I'm gonna sound like a complete douchebag. Because I have I have traveled the country few times, and I am so happy when I get home and can eat, because New Jersey, I don't care what anyone said, we have some great food. You gotta get pizza here, right? You gotta go any place by me. There's like 20 pizza shops. Go to any pizza shop, get pizza. They'll all be a little bit different. They're great. You go to Vic's, Pete and Elda's, Del Ponte's, Pizza Heaven. You got any of these places. The pizza here is phenomenal. We have tons of breweries. The beer is great. But you're going to find a lot. Over here, there's a lot of Italian, Irish, and Jewish, and actually a lot of Mexican influence too. And you can get great Italian food here. You can get great French fusion food here. Those are the two I'd go to, or Mexican food. You will not have anybody interested. Call me. I'll point you where to go. The food here is good, but pizza. I missed pizza the most when I was on the road. I had the worst pizza I've ever had in Las Vegas. I couldn't eat it. I don't send food back ever. I'll eat it even if I don't like it. I had to tell them I can't eat this. It was the only time in my life I've ever done it. You got to come here and get the pizza. It's phenomenal.
I tell you what, I think the closest I've been, I think it's Jonathan Park. I can't remember the exact name in New Jersey. Maybe it was Trenton, New Jersey.
Trenton.
I went there. And my uncle took me to an Italian pasta place, best pasta I've ever had.
Yeah.
So anytime I go up there, I have to have some pasta.
there's been a lot of places popping up over here. They make their own now. You know, we got, you know, so New Jersey has such good tomatoes. We're the only state, and you can fact check me on this, that has every naturally occurring mineral known to man. So wow. We have really good soil. We have great produce. It comes out awesome. Come have a beer, man. Come have a beer, some Jersey tomatoes on a pizza. You know, yeah. We'll make it a good time.
Right. Oh, man, that's awesome, dude. Actually, one more for you before we get out of here. If you weren't drumming, if you weren't in music, what do you think you'd be doing?
Acting. I do. I like to act. I really do. Okay. I've done some movies. I've done some shows. I direct. I write. So that is, I like it. I love drumming. Drumming's one. But if I can do something else that's a passion of mine, I'd really love to act.
Sweet, man.
So anyone casting, I'm on IMDb. You can look up my credits.
Cool, man. Audition. Well, this was Joseph of the band Cult of She. Things we've tackled today. We've tackled some nerdy things. We talked some Funko Pops. We talked about how awesome the food is in New Jersey. We've talked books. We've talked He Is Legend. And he is living proof that the drummer gets the girl. Two thumbs up for me, man. So I love that. And we're going to be playing the song 925. I hope you guys enjoy it. Please check this band out. If you could, real quick, tell people where they can keep up what's going on with everything you guys.
Sure, yeah. So Cult of She, just a note, guys. Cult of She is spelled with two T's, so C-U-L-T-T of She. You can find us on Instagram, same spelling. On Twitter, same spelling. You can go to cultofshe.com. We're there. Anyone that happens to be in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, we do have a really great show coming up July 15th at the Strand Theater in Lakewood. It's a big benefit show for mental health awareness, which is actually a lot of what 925 is about. I wrote that while a bit in the middle of a mental breakdown. Please, anyone can come out to that. Strand Theater in Lakewood, just $12 tickets, supports a great cause. And Cult of She, just look for us.
Awesome, man. You were the absolute best. I appreciate you hanging out with me, man. And I'll talk to you later. And
I hope so.
You the man, dude. You the man. Hey, stay metal.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back.